Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Wow, that's called a frog in the throat. Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide in the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Wednesday, May 31st, the final day of May 2023, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. Welcome in. Still trying to get healthy. And vibrant Pat
Kreitler. You okay over there, buddy? You okay?
I mean,
I'm 200 miles away, but if I need to get in the car to do the Heimlich maneuver or something over there, I suppose.
Before we went on the air, I said, you know, I passed this goofy kidney stone over the weekend. That was how I spent my Memorial Day. And I said, geez, I feel like the old Rosanna Dan on Saturday Night Live. It's always something. So yep. I'm falling apart. But you know who is not falling apart? Our friend, our colleague from Up North News every morning from 6 until 8 on the Civic Media Radio Network, Mr. Pat Kreitler. Mr. Kreitler, how are things on beautiful Lake Wasota this morning?
Oh, it's always a gorgeous day up north, more so these past couple of days, having one of my daughters here and grandkids, a one-year-old girl, a four-year-old boy who's just a few feet away from me watching Thomas the Tank Engine. And for folks that did listen to my show earlier, I was saying off air that I figured out why we were having some internet glitches during the show. I love doing the show from home, but usually it's just me here. Mm-hmm. But I've got a daughter who's working from home through her laptop. I've got little kids watching stuff on Netflix. The pipeline appears to be a little on the clogged side, which is, you know, again, a nice problem to have as a grandpa, but I'm going to have to definitely investigate, you know, my internet service, to put it lightly. I need bandwidth up here.
Those are the new kind of the 21st century grandpa problems, right? When you need exactly. More bandwidth for the grandkids.
Well, it's not like the problems that we had, back when I was a young kid, when your grandparents had to worry about getting you a tetanus shot because, you know, your Tonka toys had gotten rusty and you stepped on the dump truck the wrong way or something. It's just a whole different set of problems these days.
We'll talk about dad problems, like our great Katy Perry dad, our friend and colleague, Mr. Trigvi Olson from the Lincoln Project. Are you joining us from the nation's capital this morning, Trigvi, or where do we find you?
No, I'm back in River Falls again this week.
Back in River Falls.
Aging parent issues.
Yeah, well, we're thinking of you and your family.
But I love being in River Falls.
Yeah, right.
Go have Steve's Pizza, go to Johnny's for a few spotted cows. Couldn't be better. Might get in the car and drive over and see Krylo on Lake Minnesota. See if you better over there.
It's God's country.
The pontoon always stands ready for a radio retreat anytime. Now, again, with the grandkids here, I'm going to have to move some of the beach toys off out of the way, but, you know, just to make room for the beer cooler, but we can do that.
It is Wednesday, crossover Wednesday. That's why we're honored to have Mr. Kreitler here with us. We'll have more
with Trigvi. One more time.
Oh, yeah. I know we're moving to the afternoon, 1 until 3, but we will figure out a way for Pat to still join us and be with us. And it's always great having you here, Pat. I want to get, before we have to go to the break here, I want to get, Trigvi will have more information for you after the break. Pat, I want to get your reaction to the gift that keeps on giving in Wisconsin politics. That is Glenn Grothman. And Mr. Zommers, I just sent you a cut if you've got that ready to go. It's Congressman Grothman.
Which one? One? He gave us two gifts.
I know. This one was from yesterday. His feelings on the debt reduction or the debt ceiling bill compromise between Biden and McCarthy. And the fact that somehow it was leaving the low-income housing folks untouched, according to Glenn. Here we go.
But they left low-income housing untouched. I think as far as discouraging work and discouraging marriage, I think low-income housing is even a more dangerous program than the food stamps. So I'm including low-income housing in the mix of having work requirements. The amendment as drafted just includes Section 8 housing, which is an error on my part because there are other low-income housings as well. But that's what we have before us. I would appreciate it if you'd let that to the floor because I don't think our team fought on the low-income housing front at all.
Congressman Glenn Grothman, very upset that low-income housing folks weren't being gone after and attacking the unmarried, says the man who lives with his mother in the basement. Pat Kreitler.
Poor Eeyore. Somebody pin his tail back on. such a gloomy Gus. And again, on brand, I don't know if you played the other cut from the other day when he talked about how under the Biden administration, straight white guys just can't get appointed to federal judgeships. I mean, thank God Glenn Grossman is there to defend the honor of the oppressed straight white male.
Gamers are the most oppressed minority.
But he, again, he's not happy like a certain faction unless they're telling poor people it's their own fault they're poor. And I always add the disclaimer, that is not to say that there aren't lazy poor people out there. Always have been, always will be. But the whole reason you have that line about not throwing the baby out with the bathwater is having programs that do help people that fell on tough times. And I explained on my show this morning, growing up in Section 8 housing with a single mom, raising four kids, one of whom was, you know, sick for all 9 years of his life before he passed away. And what were they going to do? Tell my mom to, you know, take my brother to fewer doctor appointments, you know? So I would just as soon, Mr. Grossman, understand the reason why we want struggling families to keep a roof over their head and what it would cost us otherwise. So thanks, but no thanks, Congressman.
And housing, of course, one of the number one issues in the state of Wisconsin right now. Trigvi, 15, 20 seconds before we go to break.
I just keep thinking. Think about some of the giants Wisconsin sent to Congress. Les Aspin, Paul Ryan. Glenn Grossman, not a giant. A joke.
Pat Kreitler, every morning, 6 until 8. We appreciate you being here, my friend. Have a great day up
you
north.
Bet.
And more Trigvi Olson from the Lincoln Project after this. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Show, it's now 8:15 on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Wednesday, May 31st, 2023. Wednesday hump day. It means only one thing. Time to talk to our friend and colleague from the Lincoln Project, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, a native of Wisconsin. Worked on a lot of campaigns and races and offices here in Wisconsin. Went on to bigger, better things across the nation and around the world, and joins us every Wednesday to talk politics and Packers. And we've found a new niche, Trigvi Olson. Used to be soccer moms, that it was wine moms. I think with you, we've settled on a Katy Perry dads.
You know, it's funny because I have been working with, so the Lincoln Project set up this entity called the Lincoln Democracy Institute. It's a nonprofit, and sure, we have been doing this massive survey, not really a political survey, but much more focused on values and so forth. Mm. And I was actually on the plane flying out here last night. The key to this battle for democracy in many ways is girl dads. They are voting democracy over ideology. And it, you know, we used to have soccer moms, we had security moms. It really is girl dads, strangely enough. And I kind of, as a girl dad myself, get that because the issues like Dobbs are things where daughters are getting on dads. And, you know, the wives have opinions and dads tend to push back on them. But when daughters push, they usually get what they want.
So, I think that's a fascinating,
including me watching Katy Perry roar.
Up for the nominee for Best Dad of the Year, taking your daughter to Katy Perry. But I think this is really fascinating, Trigvi, in all seriousness, because we don't see, correct me if I'm wrong, you've seen numbers a lot longer than I have, and specific numbers across the country. You don't see a lot of movement over time generally with kind of middle-aged white men. And to see this movement with now dads that have daughters, something new or not?
You know, I think some of it is a millennial Gen X thing. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, people tend to become more conservative with age, and certainly with men, that's true. And they're definitely, you know, their economic values, they're free market oriented people. What's changing, I think, to some degree, is they're pretty culturally tolerant, the millennials and the Gen Xers. And, you're seeing it on a lot of things. I mean, you're seeing it with legalization of marijuana. You're seeing it how they view, you know, the abortion issue. You're seeing it in how they view just a slew of issues. I think with the Gen Xers, really, quite frankly, Todd, and this would be you and I, like, they're conservative, but they came of age with Ronald Reagan, and they're sort of asking themselves why this incongruence between what we have today and what we had then. You would not see Ronald Reagan playing around with the debt ceiling the way these guys are. And you wouldn't see him bashing the way Glenn Grossman is
right
on people who are in housing. Yes, he would want them to work, but I don't think you'd see the vitriol and the meanness.
Let's move the debt ceiling the debt ceiling bill negotiated by President Joe Biden and Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy. And let's just button up this this comment here before the break by Glenn Grothman going after people on, as he called it, low income housing. A lot of people would call it affordable housing, and all across the state of Wisconsin right now, I don't care whether you're River Falls, Amory, Wausau, Richland Center, Madison, Milwaukee, housing is a crisis. I just went through finding a different apartment. My rent's going up $350 a month for a smaller space, by the way. Mm-hmm. And housing can't be built fast enough. In the Walker era, Republicans changed the laws in the state to absolutely give all the rights to landlords, almost nothing to tenants. Unlike other states, you can't mitigate or have rent controls. It truly is a free market out there. People are finding themselves homeless, and a lot of times not, you know, stereotypical sleeping under a bridge. No, no, no. They're couch surfing with friends and family, or they're sleeping in their cars. And you've got Glenn Grothman out there criticizing people for moving into affordable housing, trying to say there's some kind of a schlep. I just think the man is cruel.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, you know, and again, we talk about it a lot on this show, but back when Tommy Thompson was governor and reforming welfare was a cornerstone of what he was trying to do, it was basically, we're going to give people a hand up, not a handout. And we're going to give them all the tools, and we're going to spend more, but we're going to have some expectations. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that should be what we do. And eventually Bill Clinton took it and made it a bipartisan effort to try and reform welfare. But what this is, really, it's that kind of stuff running its course and turning into just flat out meanness and just, you know, it's piling on is what it is for political points.
Debt ceiling compromise bill. I'm a pragmatist. I've looked this over. I've seen obviously the language, but from what I read and see, here's why I'm happy about it, Trigvi. Both the far left and the far right are ticked off. And pretty much anytime that happens, that says to me, that's a pretty good bill. What do you make of it?
I mean, compromise is not supposed to be a bad thing. Our entire system is based on that win-win idea that you can have compromise. And when both extremes, when AOC and Matt Gaetz are both screaming about it, you're probably onto something. Now, whether they can actually get it through, given some of the things that McCarthy has given up in a timely fashion, because they've sort of waited to the last minute on this, it's a real question. I mean, they have no room for error on this. And I think, you know, the debt ceiling is something that you can't play around with, quite frankly, because the reserve currency status of the United States may seem high-minded to a lot of people. But literally, if you're driving to work right now in Amory, Wisconsin, you're benefiting from the debt ceiling.
Explain it. We've done it a little bit before, Trigvi, but in your words, you've worked around the world on this. You understand this from an internationalist perspective. Explain a little bit what you just said there and why it's important to the average voter in Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, I mean, the full faith and credit in the United States in the dollar is a big reason why people around the world, when they need to keep money under the mattress, keep it in $100 bills, not in euros or you know, rubles or whatever else. And that is because they feel like they can depend on the U.S. dollar. That ends up meaning we pay lower interest rates. We would be like, if you're in Europe and you're borrowing money right now, you're probably paying 8-9%, mm-hmm. not 6-6%. I get that's higher than what we're used to as of late, but that's just the reality. A big part of that is dependent on the fact that we're the reserve currency. And people end up wanting to buy dollars. And you know, you see a lot of countries around the world, the Chinese, for starters, want to see that change because it gives us immense power. And quite frankly, if you're worried about the rise of China or you're worried about Russia, you should be in favor of us making sure we don't default on our debt.
So it's not hyperbole, it's not exaggeration for dramatic effect to say if we default on the debt ceiling here, if we default as a country, it truly opens up the door for a country like China to come in and destabilize world currencies, which, by the way, would hurt private businesses, which Republicans say they want, and small businesses on main streets all across to the state of Wisconsin eventually.
Yeah, for sure. I think fairly quickly.
Yeah, fairly quickly. The other part that we've been saying on this show for the last couple, 3 weeks here is really the only reason for Republicans not to want to find a way to work on this is to sabotage Joe Biden in his reelection campaign in 2024.
Yeah, and here's the other thing is, you know, there's this narrative that Joe Biden is a doddering, incompetent old man right. on the far right in the new right media ecosystem. Somehow he walked out of his office, wandered around asking how he gets out of his pajamas, and then went in and kind of packed Kevin McCarthy's lunch in the negotiations. So there's right? that.
Right? I thought it was a masterful job by Biden on the most part. And Jen, again, not you know, even in the gaggle he had on his way to Delaware yesterday, of course he went to Delaware because yesterday was the 8th anniversary, I believe, of the passing of his son, Bo, and so he wanted to visit his grave there. And on the way out, one of the reporters, you know, was kind of priming him a little bit. And Biden just smiled. He goes, "Yeah, you guys want me to say something? You want me to brag about this? How great of a bill? How's that going to help me get it passed?" I mean, he's so smart. He's been around right. so long. He knows exactly how to push and not push. Most importantly, not push buttons on the Republican side.
I mean, here's the thing. I think, you know, do I agree politically if Joe Biden and I sat and drank beer and talked politics with him 90% of the time or 80% of the time? Probably not. You wouldn't either. But, you know, Joe Biden's a guy that deals can be done with because he is a throwback to that age. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, McConnell used to always talk about worthy adversaries. You know, Joe Biden would be somebody that that was viewed as a worthy adversary, somebody you could do business with. He wants to get deal done and he'll take 55, 45 or 50, 50. Mm-hmm. And that really is how you make things happen. And that's no different than the way, you know, Tommy Thompson was. But we've moved out of that era. We've moved into an era where Glenn Grossman is bashing on people who need help with their housing.
But I think that's what's so refreshing about this is the way that the mild-mannered way, the adult way that Biden negotiated this and got it to this point. And if they can get it across the finish line, I mean, what better way to kick off your reelection than by having Republicans and Democrats stand behind you as you sign a bill preventing the United States from defaulting and essentially stabilizing the economy for the next 2 years. I mean, that's pretty good, Trigby.
Yeah, and I think it's a deal that, quite frankly, a lot of Republicans would be happy with, too. It's not like Republicans and conservatives aren't getting things in this bill. Mm. They are getting quite a bit in the bill.
Yeah.
And that's the whole nature of win-win. The problem for Republican leaders on this is they are all going to be afraid, and they will have members like Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz and Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene who are going to demagogue this. And Donald Trump has said, we should default. Well, mm-hmm. if Donald Trump is your business model in terms of how you handle debt, you know, there's a litany of defaults everywhere with Donald Trump. I don't know. He can't get a bank to loan him money. Mm. And so I don't know that we want that as the model for the United States. But they're going to demagogue it. And so reasonable Republicans who are up for reelection, you know, are going to be afraid to vote for it, not because they don't agree with it, not because they don't think they got a good deal, but because they're worried that they're going to get primaried and they can't defend it.
Yeah, one of the things that their Republicans don't or Democrats don't like is the clawback of unused COVID funds. Well, geez, if there's millions or billions of dollars just sitting there, taxpayer money, I'm all for taking that back right now. I mean, why not?
Absolutely.
So, stay tuned. We have Kara Foster's weather next. It's a hot one, and more with Trigvi Olsen from the Lincoln Project. We have a cut from his old boss, Mitch McConnell. We'll get his opinion on that. Stay with us on the Todd Arbuckle Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 8:33 on a Wednesday, May 31st, the last day of May. And we go to a hot, hot weather forecast with our very own Kara Foster. Kara, how the heck are you up there in Minnesota? Is it as hot in Minnesota as it is down here in Wisconsin?
It is. It's hot. It's humid. Of course, us Midwesterners are not too fond of humidity. I feel like I'd be okay with the heat because we had a pretty nice warm weekend. But my goodness, I'm just like, I can't win right now.
But, you know, I'm not complaining because all those weather forecasts of, you know, 31 and rain and, you know, eight inches of snow. I'll take this. I'm not complaining.
Right, right, for sure. Yeah, we definitely had a turbulent winter, turbulent spring even into a few weeks ago. So, I mean, we kind of overcorrected a little too much. We're still very warm, way warmer than we should be. But, I mean, I know a lot of people are enjoying the weather no matter what. I know a lot of people definitely prefer this to that. So, I do take credit for it. No, I'm just kidding.
You absolutely should take credit for it. You know, all the grief that Trigvi has given you over these terrible forecasts, and here you are now. He's up in River Falls again. He's here in Wisconsin. So, what do you got for Amory, River Falls, Wausau, and Richland Center for us today, Kara?
All right. Well, it's still kind of a lighter day. It's still going to be humid no matter what. But over in Amory, they are looking at just a 20% for isolated showers. Not too much. Fairly sunny otherwise, a high of 87. Nothing over in Wausau other than sunshine with a high of 89. And then same thing in Richland Center, sunny with a high of 92. So make sure you are putting on sunscreen if you're going to be outside for longer than like 15 minutes and you're drinking a lot of water. Now, as we head into tonight, some isolated showers still possible in Amory. We'll dip down to 63 there. Isolated showers do move over into Wausau tonight. We'll dip down to about 63, partly cloudy. Nothing quite yet for the southern portion of the state. We'll dip down to 60, partly cloudy in Richland Center. But then starting tomorrow, it's basically the same story for everybody. We're looking at very scattered showers throughout the entirety of the state. Still mixing with sunshine, a high of 80s, up in the upper 80s and lower 90s, I should say. Showers are continuing into Thursday night, still kind of scattered, dip down to the mid 60s or so. Friday's the same deal, probably a little bit more likely we'll see some showers, at least throughout the western portion of the state. Still the same highs in the upper 80s, lower 90s, and then this continues all throughout the weekend. On Sunday, though, it does lighten up a little bit. You'll still see more sunshine, if anything, and we're not really going to be washed out by any means, so you won't really have to, like, cancel plans, but you will have to kind of keep an eye on the sky these next few days. Just make sure there isn't a rain cloud heading your way, and as of right now, nothing severe, which is awesome. And even as we head into next week, Monday and Tuesday, still very warm in the mid to upper 80s, so definitely expect this to continue at least until then, but I do know there is a slight cool down coming, so we're going to have to keep an eye on it. But yeah, for right now, just stay cool, I guess. I'm meteorologist Kara Foster.
All right, Kara, do you have a favorite suntan lotion of choice? Are you a spray-on person or are you a rub-on? Because there's the spray-on kind
you
now.
You know, yeah, I would say, I mean, I mix both. I say right. Protect my face more, I use the lotion, but then the spray I use everywhere else because it's just easier right. That way.
That's what I do,
so
too.
Really? All right, nice. So Aaron's a mixer as well. All right, I did not know this. I should have used suntan lotion. As it turns out, I'm only 25, but I look 53. So the sun has done a number on my skin. All right, Kara, enough of the goofing around on Todd's part. We appreciate your serious forecast. It's a beautiful one. Have a wonderful day up there in the Twin Cities. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You bet. I'll catch you then.
All right. Thank you very much. Trigvi Olsen, Senior Advisor to the Lincoln Project, Wisconsin native, joins us as per usual on a Wednesday. Trigvi, how's the weather up there at River Falls this morning?
It's hot.
You know what? I have to tell you a story.
All right, yeah. I'm sitting there listening to Kara, and she is the epitome of Minnesota nice,
right?
Except she doesn't. She doesn't have the passive aggressive. Well, maybe with the forecast, but so I'm flying out of River Falls for the week. I'm back here dealing with some aging parent issues, and I'm flying back and forth. And on Friday, I go up to the Minneapolis airport, and I go to use the men's room, and somebody had placed in each of the men's urinals a Green Bay Packer logo. Yes.
What?
And it dawned on me. I took a picture of it. I was like, this is social media worthy.
Yeah,
and I
absolutely
pointed out that we have 4 Super Bowls, and all those people who are listening in Minnesota, all you have is the toilet bowls in the Minneapolis airport.
I love that. What the heck?
In fact, I will share it on my Twitter feed for
please
people, and you can retweet
right
it. But yes, this is what we put up with from those people. Kara's forecast, it's either hot or cold. She's like Katy Perry. There is no in between.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's terrible as Minnesotans trying to brag like that.
Seriously.
Don't even have 1 Super Bowl. A guy who...
Yeah, but they have the Mall of America.
MOA.
Don't discount that.
MOA, baby. It is there in all of its splendor. But at least they're not Illinois. So we'll give them that.
That is true. That is true. The only worthy neighbors we have are the Iowegians and the Michiganders.
Right, right. Exactly. So we're talking a little bit about the debt ceiling with Trigvy this morning. Debt ceiling, a bill right now, the bipartisan bill, a bill in agreement at least, by Biden and McCarthy right now. It passed last night, if I understand correctly. It passed the Rules Committee by 1 vote in the House last night, so it may come to the floor.
Thomas Massey pushed it through.
Oh, there you go. It may come to the floor today. And then, of course, it has to go to the Senate. Now, did you work for McConnell, Minority Leader or Republican Leader Mitch McConnell? Did you work for his office, or you advised on his campaign?
Political side.
Yeah,
on the super PAC.
But you've met him and you know him a little bit.
So, because I got sent down Rand Paul bill with him quite a bit.
Rand Paul.
Hung out with him at him and Elaine at the Kentucky Derby. That was my reward.
That must have been lovely.
It was fantastic because
really?
Elaine Chao was my wife, is Lithuanian and was a pretty prominent Lithuanian diplomat. And when Lithuania won its independence, my wife stood outside the parliament. And Elaine Chao was Secretary of Labor or something for George H.W. Bush. Mm-hmm. And she got sent. She was in Europe. She got sent to Lithuania and was at the parliament.
Really?
And they ended up in this long conversation about their experiences with Soviet tanks pointing at them.
Wow.
Yeah. It was really cool.
That's super cool. Well, there you go. So you know McConnell to a certain degree, but around him.
Yeah.
He went to the Senate floor last night and gave a speech because there's some I'm not sure you would say concern, but some thought, well, if the House passes this, is it going to make it through the Senate? This is a little bit of a long cut, about a minute and a half here. Bear with us. I want you to listen to it. I want you to give me your opinions, not just on what McConnell's saying, but I'm not sure. Have you seen the clip at all? Have you seen it?
I haven't.
All right.
Well, I was traveling last night. So.
That's right. So let's go ahead and Mr. Zomers, we'll play this clip. This is Mitch McConnell last night on the Senate floor talking about the debt limit and federal spending bill.
On the biggest issues facing our country. Now, divided government means negotiated deals. It means nobody gets everything they want. But in this case, it means the American people got a whole lot more progress toward fiscal sanity than Washington Democrats wanted to give them. Speaker McCarthy and House Republicans deserve our thanks. This spring, they passed the only viable legislation that both preserved our nation's full faith and credit and made real progress toward getting federal spending under control. House Republicans' unity forced President Biden to do his job. It's really just that simple. And now Congress will vote on legislation that locks in that important progress. Republicans have a tremendous opportunity to take on an existential challenge facing our economy and future generations of Americans. We have a chance to start bringing Washington Democrats' reckless spending to heel. Soon, it will be the Senate's turn to put this historic agreement on the president's desk. Let's not pass up our shot.
The Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, last night on the Senate floor. Number one, Trigvi, sounds like McConnell's on board, and it's hard for me to believe that with McConnell on board, how it could fail in the Senate. Yes or no?
I would be really surprised. I mean, Mitch is really good at rallying the votes when he needs it. So I would be surprised if it fails in the Senate. That would shock me. I think there will be people, probably including the Republican senator from Wisconsin, who want everything that they want and nothing from anybody else who may demagogue it. And I think Ron Johnson and I'm sure Ted Cruz and some others in McConnell's caucus will see a political opportunity in this to be against. But yeah, I mean, I think the same wing will prevail with a bunch of Democrats.
The other part of it, it's not fair to get your opinion because you haven't seen it. You can't see it over our connection here. But McConnell, he spent some time in the hospital recently, and he, in my opinion, he doesn't look well. He looks kind of gaunt. His speech is not the way it normally is. Yeah. The man does not look well.
I mean, I just heard it. I didn't see it, and I have no unique insights. Yeah. But that was the first thing that jumped out at me.
Just he sounded a little bit different.
Great. Yeah.
No, he didn't sound great, and he didn't look great. And you look at, I mean, him, Dianne Feinstein, go right down. I mean, Joe Biden right now looks like one of the most healthy people in Washington, quite frankly. I mean, maybe not that, but I mean, you compare it to some of these other people who are just, I mean, again, we go back to this thing, Trigvi, of when's the next generation going to take over?
I really...
On both sides, by the way.
Question.
On both sides.
As Generation Xers, I keep wondering when that's going to happen. And we've had people, including, you know, Wisconsin's own Paul Ryan, who were rising rock stars of Gen X, and they've all washed out.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's because a lot of us were latchkey kids. We're just like, we're going to go out and take care of ourselves. But, yeah, it's a fair question. And... you know, that's one of the other things as part of that survey, and we're going to have, and I will make sure that we figure out how to share the key findings with the audience from the Lincoln Democracy Institute. One of the things that jumps out is when we look at why we're so divided, part of it is generational, and there's two pieces to that. One is the baby boomers have continued to litigate the 60s throughout their entire lifetimes, and they still are. Mm-hmm. And if we end up with Joe Biden running against Donald Trump, it's going to be more of relitigating the 60s by two very geriatric baby boomers. Mm-hmm. And that's the most likely outcome. And then the other piece of it is, you know, children who remember the Cold War versus those who are really came of age post 89, have very different relationships with technology in the world than do those who are older. And those are part of what we're seeing, quite frankly.
Very interesting. Just to look at this makeup of Washington right now and looking ahead. I know we've talked about this before, but it seems like there's a new presidential candidate almost every day on the Republican side. Now, according to CBS's Margaret Brennan this hour, she's reporting, or Finn Gomez, their political guys, saying that former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie announcing his 2024 presidential bid next Tuesday at a town hall in New Hampshire. According to two people familiar reporting to CBS News and first reported by Axios. So Chris Christie appears to be in once again. It really is deja vu all over again, Trigvi. It looks like the old, I mean, I'm waiting for Scott Walker to get in, and then we've got the 2016 Republican field all over again.
You know, he's too busy harping about indoctrination and spewing stupidity on Twitter. That's what you do when you're a conservative lounge-jack, Todd.
By the way,
I can't wait for next week.
Well, we go statewide. And we can tell people Badger Madison, Boys stay
honestly,
all over.
Honestly, here's the thing, Todd. You and I both know there's going to be a lot of people who work for Scott Walker who are going to laugh when we get going on.
Absolutely.
Even though they'll never admit it in their polite right. Madison right. company.
Right. I'm looking forward to that with nervous anticipation. stay tuned. More with Trayvie Olson from the Lincoln Project on a Wednesday. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Show is now 8:50 on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10 minutes before the hour of 9 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. You can believe it or not, it's already the 31st day of May. Last day of May into June tomorrow. And don't forget, coming up on Monday, we are changing time slots as we'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3 across the state of Wisconsin. Looking forward to that. And Trayvie Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. So, Trayvie, we appreciate that. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin, starting on next Wednesday.
I know, isn't that exciting?
It is.
The whole state.
It is.
The beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky,
right?
The Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
So, speaking of that.
And Todd opines. There you go.
Todd opines.
I don't know. You know what? We should try and get Tommy on the phone and figure out if he
100%.
Can find something with Todd that rhymes with Eagles soar, Packers score, and Harley's roar.
If anybody could, it would be him. I would love to get him on the show. I really would. And of course,
Todd roars.
Todd roars. Good Lord. I'm looking forward. We can make this happen now, because now that we're going to be on in Green Bay, we have a brand new studio that's being built out just down the street from Lambeau on the river there at Green Bay. Oh. And we could do the show and have you up there, and we could just drink beers. It's going to be in the afternoon, so we can appropriately drink now while we do the show on a Packer pregame Wednesday or whatever.
You know what? Honestly, if you want to have me on Fridays for an additional 15
sure.
minutes to talk Packer football, we could do that.
We can make that happen.
I you know, much like politics, I have really highly informed opinions about the Packers.
As a Packer owner, yes. I understand that. Did you see the A-Rod? Now A-Rod is now free. He's at the Jets, and he was dancing at a Taylor Swift concert this week.
He went twice.
Yes.
That's called honest to God. Seriously.
Hey, I'm happy he can be himself. God love him. You know, I mean, he's living his best life out there in New York City.
But man, getting two Taylor Swift tickets, most people can't even think about getting one.
I was one of the people who got washed out by Ticketmaster.
Really?
I was like number 54,326 or something in line.
Uh-huh.
Because, of course, as a girl dad, you have to try and do these things.
Of course.
And then she broke the internet.
Well,
here's the thing. Okay, I'm going to go on a little Taylor Swift rant.
Let's hear it, though.
Taylor Swift is like a real musician. I would not pay, and I explain this to my daughters, I will not pay what you have to pay to scalp tickets to Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing that I might pay $1,000 for a ticket to see is if Freddie Mercury somehow reappears and Queen goes on tour.
You would like pay $1,000 to go see
the 1984 version of Queen. But short of that, I'm not. But that being said, like, she's the real deal. Unlike the pop princesses like Katy Perry, you know, the lounge acts. She's the real deal. She will stand the test of time. And people, this has a political lesson. There are politicians who are like a few who are like sort of the Taylor Swifts who will stand the test of time. And then there's the lounge acts.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to put it.
The biggest conservative lounge act at the moment, at least from the state of Wisconsin, our boy Scott Walker. He's no Taylor Swift, and he needs to calm down too. So, Scott, if you're listening, take a little Tay-Tay. Next time you get the urge to go off with your Marsha Blackburn-esque tweets.
By the way, didn't her Marsha Blackburn's the woman that the Republicans were accusing of having an affair with Biden, she now defected to Russia. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah. Shocking. She was hanging out with Maria Butina, who was like clearly running some kind of massive operation. And the other thing is, the Russian bridge player, who's rumored to have had an affair with Bill Gates, she also was hanging out with Butina. Butina, that lady was running a major operation, and Butina was sleeping with like half of the NRA, according to, if you believe what you read in court documents.
Right.
Well, I mean, honest to God, like, yeah. But they have been messing around in big ways.
Isn't that just the irony of this, though, Trigby? A lot of the irony is that Republicans get all high and mighty, and then it turns out, oh, by the way, they're the ones that are doing it themselves.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the whole thing, right? Tom Nichols, who writes for The Atlantic and is brilliant, like absolutely brilliant. If you don't read Tom Nichols, if you're listening, you should check out Tom Nichols.
Yep,
but Tom Nichols makes this point that the real elites who look down on the masses are actually conservative elites. And I think that's true. In fact, it's one of the reasons why when Trump came along and watching all that go down, it just infuriated me. Because, I have, all my well-intentioned buddies who want to see the country in a better place, totally getting taken advantage of by these people who are just elites on the conservative side. And that's what they sell. They are lounge acts. They are Katy Perry.
And we're seeing that more this week, last few days, this debt ceiling bill where, I heard someone say this, I can't remember who it was on CNN or somewhere. They said the version of what you said, what Tommy Thompson said, there are people who just want to be, there are people who want to do. They said it a different way in Washington. But we're seeing that right now. That, there are a lot of people who just want to, as you say, be a lounge act, just be. It's all about themselves. It's not actually about helping the country. And I think you could throw Ron Johnson in with that mix and some other folks from Wisconsin who just really have no interest in actually working in a bipartisan fashion to get results.
Right. And here's the other thing that I've discovered along the way, right? Like there are all these guys like Josh Hawley, it's classic. He's given the fist to these people who have showed up, who are being taken advantage of. They've been sold a lie about the elections. He's given him the fist. He's all the tough guy. And then who's the guy who's running away when the Capitol's getting stormed? It's Josh Hawley. Yeah. And I will tell you, there are all these guys like Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz talks tough. Mm-hmm. But when his wife got insulted badly by Donald Trump, what did Ted Cruz do? And I was talking to somebody who's good friends with President Bush, W. Bush, and they were saying, you can like Bush, not like Bush, but if Donald Trump had said those things about Laura Bush in a debate, George Bush would have gone over and put a cowboy boot up his posterior.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Right? And honestly, people would have loved it because that's what most of the most, again, girl dads in Wisconsin, if you were to insult their wife like that, they go over and put a finger right in their chest. And so you got these guys.
I left you 30 seconds. I forgot to ask this earlier. Mark Murphy, Packers, wants $2 million of Wisconsin taxpayer money to host the NFL draft in 2025. Yes or no?
I would say no. They should just sell more shares.
100%. I agree with you 100%. Don't you think they should have figured out the funding for this before they got the bid?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Trigby Olson, Packer owner and senior advisor of the Lincoln Project. Thanks as always, my friend. We'll see you statewide next week.
All right. Looking forward to it.
Thanks. Yeah.